Welcome to the happiest pod on earth on the Geek Therapy Network. My name is Jose Cardona. I'm joined by Lara Taylor.
What's up?
All right, we're continuing our Disney adventure. Luckily, Disney is releasing tons of new stuff. So
when we make plans, our plans change.
Unbelievable. After last episode, we were like, okay, we'll talk about this, but then forgot. Oh, another Disney movie came out. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Toy Story. So let's talk about Toy Story 4, and I want to touch some of the previous ones too, because obviously they're pretty relevant. So we watched Toy Story 4, spoilers. I hope you watched it too. If you didn't, you can still stick around. There was some really these movies. They hit you.
They hit you. This one didn't hit me as much as Toy Story 3.
No.
But no. I don't think anything could.
yeah. And you know what? I've been having this thought. I'm wondering what you think. You know, Disney Plus is coming. I can mm-hmm. feel it. It's already affecting my purchasing decisions. Like, as a consumer, it's already affecting my behavior. So, like, right now, as we're recording, I like to use the movie service Vudu. Mm-hmm. And right now, they have a Pixar flash sale going on.
You don't need that.
So that's the thing, right? So I'm like, I can just wait a few more months and then supposedly all the Disney movies will be on there. We don't have confirmation, I don't think. Like, I don't remember reading specifically that the Pixar movies will be there, but I assume that they will be.
I think they will be. They are Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I assume that all of those movies will be there. So I'm like, meh. You know, the other day I bought a video game that was on sale on Switch, and then mm-hmm. 2 days later I learned that it was on Xbox Game Pass. So it's one of those things, like, I'm still not used to it in video games as used to it as I am with TV and movies, right? Like, if I want to see a movie, I like to go to justwatch.us, and it'll tell me, oh, that movie is available to stream on these services, and if I don't have one of those, then it'll tell me how much it costs to rent it in different places.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And we're getting there with video games too. But so, like, there's a few Pixar movies that I don't have or that I haven't seen that I'd like to pick up. But then, yeah, I'm just going to wait. So that, okay, combined with Disney's announcements that they're going to be releasing movies on the service. Mm-hmm. Like, for a while, there was a rumor that the Obi-Wan movie might be exclusive to Disney Plus. And, like, there are exclusive movies on Netflix that are amazing and high budget. So, yeah, like, I don't care how we get an Obi-Wan movie. And I don't think it's going to be low budget, right? It's still going to be Disney. It's still going to be Star Wars. I'm fine if it's a Disney Plus exclusive.
Yeah, they could be a little better with, they can take risks a little easier with Disney Plus than they could with theatrical releases.
Yeah. It's they were talking about that during Solo, right? And so combine that with the history of Disney doing sequels. That, remember, they never used to do animated sequels. That
now it's theaters. All over the place.
Well, but they used to do it only on video, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, there's a sequel, direct video. Like, we don't put the sequels out in theaters. And I believe that Toy Story 2 was the first, like, animated sequel that Disney was involved in. So I think they were Disney Pixar, right? I mean, Disney still was.
It wasn't Disney Pixar then. It was just Pixar.
It wasn't, right? Okay. But I think, so I was watching something, right? And it was just saying that, like, usually animated movies like that, like, there was a time when they started happening, right? Like Toy Story 2, and then kind of like some of the DreamWorks movies, like, we got a Shrek in theaters, things like that, right? They started happening at a certain period. But as far as Disney goes, there was, like, and it felt like there was a lesser quality to the movies too. You could tell mm-hmm. that there was less money involved, and so those went direct to video. So all of that, I bring up all of that to just say that
now we have Toy Story 4 in theaters.
Toy Story 4 felt very small in comparison to Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
And it was a great movie.
I loved it, but
Toy Story 3 was, yeah.
Right. It feels like I'm thinking if this would have been next year, like if Disney Plus was already out,
maybe it would have already gone.
Yeah.
To Disney Plus.
Would it have been a Disney Plus? Like, can you imagine how many people would have signed up for Disney Plus
to watch
if Toy Story 4 premiered there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think just as far as having a like an ongoing revenue stream, right? It makes sense to do that with big movies like that. But I don't know, it just felt like an epilogue.
Kinda, yeah. I feel like the big emotional piece was 3, and then 4 was like not an afterthought, but like you said, an epilogue. Like, oh, let's see what happened after that big emotional moment.
Yeah. And I mean, like 1, 2, and 3, super emotional, and like 3 feels like an ending, and then 4 to me feels like Woody's story. Like, mm-hmm. kind of like these, I think there's a name for these types of movies, I think, but the one where, you know, you're revisiting the old man, you know, and just to see like when they retire or they die, you know, kind of that last hurrah, like the Logan or kind of some of the Sylvester Stallone movies that are coming out where he's like wrapping up the story of these characters. It felt like that. Not that Woody can't have a whole bunch of adventures, but it's like, this is the end of Woody's journey. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it felt very personal, like and focused. Like I wasn't trying to, but I couldn't help but keep track of, wow, there's a lot of famous voice actors here who have like 3 lines in the movie.
Good right? point. Yeah.
Like most of the toys, we barely hear them, and even Tim Allen felt like he was
hardly there.
Yeah. Right. So that was kind of something that stood out to me in this pre Disney Plus world that we're living in. But in that sense, I think it was a super relatable story for that same reason. So
I felt like it was a super relatable story for adults, more so than kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like there were plenty of kids in the theater that I went to, and I went on a matinee on a Sunday. There were kids laughing and they got the jokes, but like I really felt like the story was really geared toward the parents.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's funny, I went to see it and I walked into the theater and it was full because like a summer camp had brought all the kids there. It's like, no, I went to like matinee showing also, and I thought about leaving, but I was like, no, this could be good because these kids will laugh at parts and
everything.
Like I'll have a different appreciation for it. And you're right, like it's not a kids movie, and there weren't even that many, you know, like physical jokes for the kids to laugh at. And mm-hmm.
Except for the bunny and the duck.
Except for the bunny and the duck, which I thought were kind of scary looking.
The bunny reminded me of Bebo.
Oh, yeah. But Bebo's cuter.
Yeah.
I think than bunny, because bunny had like an angry look.
And there was the whole thing with the laser eyes. And this movie was very frightening. I did not like the ventriloquist dummies.
No. I like how the like when the lady at the end sees the carriage and she goes running to it thinking it's a baby, and she sees the ventriloquist and just like, you know, like screams in fear.
Yeah.
That's the appropriate response.
There was a lot of times that I turned to my wife and I was like, no.
The trailer was even creepier. Mm-hmm. Right, because the trailer made it look like there were way more,
mm-hmm.
like a World War Z zombie,
like
climbing over each other. There were technically like 6 in the movie,
and also the doll Gabby, she was creepy mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. I mean, but these movies, a lot of them have had these characters that seem really bad, but in the end, you don't see them that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the kid in the first one, like, that kid was, like, bad news. But at the end, you kind of felt bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, Zurg, I think, is the is the other one, and in the other movies, and Lotso and the Prospector, and like all those characters where it's like, oh, this is the bad guy. But then at the end, it's like we're either friends or we understand each other, and I think they do a really good job with that. Like, there's no melting of the toy or burning of it at the end.
Yeah, and with the Gabby doll, like, she did look creepy to me at the beginning, and I don't know if they changed anything, even lighting or whatever that they had, but by the end, she looked softer and did not look as creepy to me.
This is fascinating, because there was something unsettling about her at the beginning, because she did
and it wasn't just her voice box being broken.
No. There was definitely, like, I don't think that physically she was lit any different. She may have been. That may have been a good trick in the movie. But I don't think she was, because the unsettling thing to me was always, like, this person is in charge. She's no good, but she's acting nice, and she looks cute, like a doll. And there's something here that I'm uncomfortable with. And in the end, I think she looks the same, but we see her differently.
That's a good point.
You know, and just because now, because there's a point where we understand her, right? Like, she's like, oh, Forky, talk to me. And then,
like a mob boss.
yeah. But then you realize that Forky was like they genuinely had a good conversation. Right. Yeah. And when she comes to Woody, it's like years and years and years of desperation, years of hope, and never feeling whole. And like, what point do you get? Like, what are you willing to do to achieve that? And I don't know, like, once you understand her, I agree. It's like at the end, it's like, oh, Gabby, like, I'm so, like, I think.
Well, and then you really feel bad for her when there's that years and years and years, and she's trying to build up to this point where she can have a person, have a child that loves her and is her friend, and she's rejected. And then your view changes even more.
Yeah.
I think you feel sorry that she had this horrible thing happen. And other types of movies, you would be like, you got what you deserve. And this one, not so much.
I was with Woody. I was like, yeah, let's go help her out. Let's go bring her to Bonnie. Bonnie would never do that to her. Gabby was the only, like, was the character that made me cry. Like, her situations were the ones that really got to me. Because those were the most emotional for me. Because again, that like, it's been building up, and now we're not like on her side, you know, because she's still like soft out the box, and Woody was like, fine. And she did kidnap Forky, like did a lot of bad things with creepy looking ventriloquist dolls as her slaves. But yeah.
And terrorized Benson. All the toys in the antique shop.
yeah. And after that, like at the end, I was still like, oh, she can, like, this is her moment. Like, she can be that toy. She can have a kid, you know, and she can help that girl. And I love that part where the girl's like, the girl is lost, but then she saw the doll. And instead of, I expected her to be like, oh, like, just feel better because of the doll. She decided to help the doll. And she went out and found the cops, and she was standing there for a really long time, but she chose to help someone else when she didn't
have the strength.
And that
gave her
the
strength.
Yeah. Oh man, that was really good. But again, ultimately, I think it was Woody's story, right?
Definitely.
Like throughout all of the other movies, he has this purpose, you know, and he shows it at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. He's.
And this is definitely his existential crisis.
Yeah.
Like, it should be Toy Story 4, Woody's existential crisis.
Agreed.
And that's why I say it relates to the parents a little more, maybe, or grandparents. Like, what do you do when this has been your whole life? When you've had a purpose, you've had a job, you knew what you were going to do, and you're not needed anymore to do that. And what do you do? Do you stick with the thing that you've been doing your whole life and like take a back seat? Or do you go off and have your own adventure?
No, technically that's the plot of 3 also.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But then there's a renewed purpose, right? At mm-hmm. the end of 3 by going from Andy to Bonnie. But then here it's like the way they frame Bo Peep. It's like, oh, like maybe because it's like technically a kid's movie and they are toys that are so proportionally different mm-hmm. that they never had them have like a kissing scene or anything like that. But like Bo Peep and Woody were romantic interests.
Always.
Right? Yeah. So he chose to do something for him for once, mm-hmm. which is something that he'd never really done before.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh man.
Yeah. I don't know. At the end, I don't know how I felt about it because he had spent so many years. Apparently, Bo Peep had disappeared 9 years before. Right? He sees mm-hmm. her again, according to the movie. So that's 9 years that he spent every single day with all those other toys and his best bud, Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he just left them.
He just left them.
For a girl.
I know.
An adventure sort of too, right? I mean, she was definitely living a very different lifestyle. The idea that she didn't have a kid, but she kept going to, and her and all the other toys, right? They were like going from birthday party to birthday party to different parks.
Or summer camps or whatever. Yeah.
It's like our purpose is to be played with, right? To bring joy to these kids. And we can do that in a different way. We don't have to wait around in a closet for a kid to choose us until they're sick of us anymore. And I don't know. It was a great way to frame that existential crisis.
Mm-hmm. It really was. One of the things that was funny, my wife leaned over to me in the middle of it and was like, where did she get the skunk? Like the skunk skin for scar. Yeah. It's fascinating. Bo Peep living on her own, finding a skunk skin and putting together this car after being a little girl's lamp, which there was a whole thing about. It was an article that they basically said, the showrunners were talking about what constitutes a toy and what is going to be sentient and what isn't. And that came up with the Forky situation too. Like Forky is a spork, but became a toy, and Bo Peep is a lamp, but apparently that's also a toy. And basically they just said, I don't know. It was kind of a cop out, but also it leaves some magic to it.
Well, when they explained Bo Peep's purpose, like that she was able to light up. Like Molly was afraid of the dark and Bo Peep finally made her feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe like once she spoke to her and put that, you know, towards her. But in the previous movies, Bo Peep, wasn't she a doll though? Like, wasn't she?
I thought she was a doll. I didn't think she was a lamp.
She was with the other toys.
Yeah.
I mean,
we never saw like the lamp, but we saw the. And I always thought she was a doll and not porcelain.
So
or ceramic. But you know, we could be wrong. We could have not watched these movies for a while, and people can tell us if we're wrong.
But that also has a lot to do with the fact that 24 years have passed since the first one,
mm-hmm.
and this movie looks so much better.
Oh yeah.
Holy shit! I was looking at a video comparison, and there's the cat in the antique store that just looks like a real cat.
It looked like a real cat. Yeah,
yeah.
Photorealistic. I was like, I just want to take it home and snuggle it.
And then you look at the dog in the first movie, and he looks like a piece of plastic. And the texture and everything, like this movie looks so good. And ironically, like when we saw the first one, we thought it looked so good.
I mean, that's how the nature of animation technology works. It's always going to be so good.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, video games now look way better than Toy Story did in
95. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
I know. We're old.
Stop it. I'm still but that a was something that, like, heart.
But that was breathtaking about just the way that the movie looked. So this movie did not feel like an ending.
No, it felt like a beginning to Woody's adventures with Bo Peep.
Really? You think so? You think they might continue Woody's story?
I don't know.
I mean, like, technically,
they could do a TV show on Disney Plus.
I don't know if I want a TV show.
I don't know if I do either. I think that 3 felt like I'm glad they made this movie and it was fun and I liked it. I think that 3 was a really good ending to an arc.
Yeah.
And this kind of added another, like, it's almost like it's a spin-off rather than part of the main arc.
It feels like a side story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it launches something else either. Because,
right.
I don't know, like, so you mentioned, like, I went off on a tangent, but you were talking about, like, what is a toy? Bo Peep is a lamp, and Forky is a spork.
And then you get a knife at the end, like a plastic knife.
What?
Yeah, there was a toy, the girlfriend.
Oh,
Forky's new girlfriend.
Okay, so I didn't see that because, like I said, the theater was packed with these small kids from a summer camp. So the moment the credits hit, I ran out of there.
Oh, I didn't you missed get the caught. After credits stuff.
Oh, how much was there?
Tell me
all about it. What did I miss?
I just remember the scene with Forky Bonnie comes home from first grade for the first day of first grade. And Jesse's coming out of the backpack and is like, it's the same exact scene as before with Woody. And it's like, she made a new friend. And then the knife comes out and is like, trash? And Forky looks like he's in love. Yeah.
So I saw that there is a Forky toy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so weird, right? Because
you could make your own.
He's a plastic spork with two googly eyes, different sizes.
A little clay on the bottom, some popsicle clay. Sticks, and some pipe cleaners.
Yep. And what's his mouth made out of?
Probably like Play-Doh or like clay.
More Play-Doh, yeah. So that's Forky. And then the toy is like this big thing. Like the arms aren't pipe cleaners anymore. It's like part plastic, and then the paddles or like his feet move up and down as you like move it forward. It's way more elaborate than what's in the movie.
At Pixar Pier in Disney's California Adventure, they have a Forky that you can take pictures with.
Huh.
Like it's not a person. Like it's not one of the suits.
Yeah,
it's a photo opportunity with Forky. Yeah.
Now, I do love the world of Toy Story because just the idea that all toys are sentient is, well, actually, so
it's a little terrifying because I think of all the toys that I have, you've seen my house.
Yes.
If all the toys that I have were sentient. And they
didn't like you.
And they didn't like me, or they didn't realize they were toys. It would be a big problem.
Yes. Yeah.
I would be in danger. Action figures with blasters and knives and...
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yes, like, this movie establishes that anything could be a toy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've named my cars in the past, you know? What if you have an affinity for, like... your couch, you know? Like, does that suddenly become sentient? you're right. The rules in this world are not very clear. I thought they were clear, but they're not. Because when, I think it's in number two, when they go to the toy store, like all of the Buzz Lightyears are sentient, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so technically every toy is sentient. Also, ironically, the new Child's Play just came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I haven't seen that, but the original terrified me as a child because I had a My Buddy doll. Mm-hmm. And I can still, I still have memories of like seeing that thing moving on its own. You know?
And like, this is why I did not like the ventriloquist dummies.
Yes.
Those are even creepier because their mouth is like the Chucky doll, like the mouth. Yeah. Nope.
So you can't put too much thought into this, agreed, because I like the world and I would love to see that idea explored more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all it takes is one revolutionary toy who's like, you know what? We're not going to be slaves anymore. We're going to live our lives at all times. And then what happens?
Oh, that is not a child's movie.
It is not a child's movie.
That is a horror movie.
Yeah, it's like there are many movies that have come out that are like that, right? where robots become sentient and things like that. And that's the world that they've built that has the potential for that to happen.
All they would have to do to take over is just have the Legos lay out all over the floors and have people step on them barefoot. That's it.
Wait. Are you saying the Legos are sentient?
I mean,
Lego bricks?
I mean, sure, they're toys.
Wait. So you're saying that every single Lego brick is sentient?
Mm-hmm.
And what about when they come together?
They're kind of like the Borg.
Okay.
That's my theory. I think in one of, I'm not sure, but I think in one of the, they couldn't have Legos in the Toy Story movies, I don't think, but there were blocks.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah.
I was reading how in the first one, they didn't get the rights to a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Barbie said no in the first one.
And in the second one, it's all Barbies.
Yeah, yeah. The second one was like, yeah, how many Barbies do you need?
Because they saw how well Toy Story 1 did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, like, all jokes aside about this apocalyptic vision of that world, like, Toy Story was revolutionary. And and it changed a lot of stuff. And again, for the time, it looked amazing. And I have very fond memories of it. It was kind of shocking to see it now. But that's because we can compare it to the fourth one and all the other movies. And it, you know, it's incredible. But it's an important movie. And this one doesn't feel, again, as important or as huge or as anything. And it doesn't have to be. It's just like Toy Story is a big deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Man. That's not even a complaint. That's just like something I keep reflecting on. Like, why did Pixar make this movie? And why? I don't know. I don't know why they made it.
I don't know. They have two new, all new movies that they're making.
Which one? It's Onward, and the other one is Soul?
Soul, yeah.
Soul, right?
Yeah. And I saw the preview for Onward.
Yep,
before this. Oh, I want to see it so bad. That's such an interesting take on fantasy worlds.
Yes, right. So,
and that's like, what I love about Pixar. It's they take a concept and flip it and make it interesting and different.
Exactly. So like we're talking about Toy Story, and if you really like wanted to explore that world, that means like toys are having adventures all over the place, and anything could happen, right?
Like not just in Andy's room or Bonnie's room. Like
exactly,
it's all the toys.
Exactly. And they're all living these lives. So there's so many different stories, so much potential. But yeah, you could have a Planet of the Apes situation, right? With all the toys, Planet of the Toys. Disney's never going to make that. I'd love to explore it.
But fan fiction.
Yes. I haven't really looked into Toy Story fan fiction. No, I don't want to.
Mm-mm.
But Onward, right? It takes that idea. It's like, okay, so imagine a fantasy world, and then
it evolves like, just like our world.
Yeah. Then like the Industrial Revolution happens and everybody has Facebook. Like what happens? I really like that idea. That idea that there's maybe something lost that these two brothers are going to go out and find.
Yeah.
You know, or tap into, you know, like not just their roots, but something, I don't know, some, again, magic, you know, the magic has kind of disappeared. I really like that idea. And Soul, just the name of it. I'm in. Mm-hmm. Just the name and the design, I'm in. I don't know anything. Do you know anything about it? Have they said anything?
I don't know anything about it. And that is also interesting. Like, just they put out the name. I think there are articles out there that discuss what it's about. I just don't want to misquote whatever it is.
I haven't read anything, and I know that there's just a logo.
Yeah, and like a snippet of like, I think it's like a sentence or two of what it's kind of about. But I'm excited. Pixar does wonderful things. I was disappointed that there was no short film, like no Pixar short before Toy Story 4.
Because when I saw
a flashback to seeing Finding Dory, the little sandpiper short had me crying. Right then. And then the first 10 minutes of Finding Dory, I was like, I can't do this. I can't watch the rest of this movie. I watched the rest of the movie, but I was so emotionally, I wonder if they'd had a short beforehand, if it would have put me in a different emotional space watching this movie.
I'm 100% with you. Because that feels more like a Pixar movie, right? If it has a short at the beginning.
Well, and even Walt Disney Studios animation is doing, they do shorts in front of the movies now too.
Yeah. Well, which was
so the movie, I was really surprised.
Which was the movie that had the 20-minute Frozen short at the beginning?
Coco.
It was Coco, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Coco?
Was it? Yeah. Are you sure?
I don't know what.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah, because the kid next to me was like, I'm here to see Coco, not Frozen. And like kids were complaining. I'm like, this is wonderful. I love this so much.
No, you're right. It was Coco. No, was it? Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it in the theater. But yeah, no, I think that was a part of it too. See, there was something about it that didn't feel like a Pixar movie. It didn't feel like a... No, there are things that did feel like a Pixar movie. Definitely. that toys or animals were driving a vehicle. That seems to be a Pixar thing.
Yeah.
And definitely, I mean, it just looked incredible. But yeah, I don't know. So again, I don't... Like, do I want a Toy Story 5? I'm going to say yes.
Oh, really?
But, like, I don't want a TV series. I'm down for another movie. But if it feels like this one, I think, again, like, I feel like Disney Plus is the right place for it. Because there's something about watching a movie, like a movie that premieres on Netflix, that's different from watching a movie that premieres in the theater. It doesn't matter how big the budgets are. Doesn't matter if it's a drama or what it is. There's something about that experience. Not good, not bad. At this point, I'm not even sure which I prefer. Because I'm like, you know what? I'd much rather wait. Like the other day, Neon Genesis Evangelion started. I was like, I stayed up till 3 to watch it when it premiered. Like, I was so excited. Yeah. I've watched it enough times
and I'm like, oh, do I need to watch it again?
I was like curious about, you know, what it looked like and the new voice cast and things like that. But I'd much rather do that. I'd much rather stay up till 3 a.m. than go line up at a theater at midnight to see a movie. You know, it's like, there are different things. I'm not sure which I prefer.
You have to line up at midnight. Now we just buy our seats and...
Hypothetical example. Here, you know what I mean?
I buy seats and it's set like seating, so I don't have to wait. I show up 15 minutes before the movie and I'm good.
I know.
And it's like at 7 o'clock.
But you still got to drive there, and there's still, like, you can't pause it. Like, again, I'm not sure which I prefer. There's some movies I prefer to watch in the theater. There's some that I prefer to watch at home. More and more, I prefer to watch them at home. So, I don't know. But, like, after this, I don't know. Like, to me, Toy Story was like, I need to go to the theater to watch this day one. After this one, I'm like, I would really look forward. Like, I would wait next time. I could wait for it to show up on video.
I don't know if I want a Toy Story 5. I think I would love to explore the world more, but with each movie, you end up with a higher chance of jumping the shark and it not being good anymore. You look at Land Before Time. It was a good first one and a good second one. And now I have no idea how many movies there are. It's like 20 something.
Yeah. But that's definitely like, it's more like a, it does feel like a show, like a TV show. Like at some point, I think.
But they're hour and a half long movies.
I know. But even Star Wars to me feels that way now. It's like, whoa, we have so many movies. They're literally called episodes, right? The main ones.
Yeah.
They do feel like episodes. Like I can have one bad one and it doesn't destroy me. Like I don't,
true.
You know, like I don't like one of them. I'm like, I don't like Star Wars any less because I didn't like episode whatever, you know, and, or this one's not my favorite or like as a whole, I like them. So they could definitely go and make way more Toy Story movies. And see, I said I didn't want a TV show before, but now I'm like, yeah, give me 10 movies. I don't know what I want.
You never know what you want. But I see that with like Cars. The second one went to theaters and it felt like it could have been a straight to TV movie. I did not like it. And that made me wary of seeing Planes, which I did not watch.
But didn't Planes go straight to DVD?
No. I think it went to theaters.
Let me double check that.
Double check that? I'm not sure. But then Cars 3, I felt, was amazing. So I guess I decided to give it a... But that had to do with, I think, marketing and production and that.
Well, what do you mean by the marketing?
Like, it was about a lady car being a race car. And it felt like an end to a story. It was for me, when I'm watching trilogies or I like a nice, neat ending usually. So Return of the Jedi was my favorite Star Wars movie because it was the end of the trilogy. Return of the King was my favorite Lord of the Rings movie because it was the end of a trilogy.
Yeah.
And it wrapped things up. I I'm the kind of person who, when I'm reading a book, I used to look at the end before I read the book because I get anxious. I want to know the end. So with Cars, it felt like, and they could do another story based on Cruise, and that would be fine. Like, but I liked the ending to Lightning McQueen's story.
Yeah. So Planes was in theaters, and so was its sequel.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a sequel.
Yeah, the sequel is called...
I didn't watch either of those.
According to Wikipedia, it says here that, like many of Disney Toons films, it was initially set to be released as a direct-to-video film, but was instead theatrically released on August 9th, 2013. And then the film grossed $239.3 million worldwide. And then it says, despite receiving negative reviews from critics, a sequel titled Planes, Fire and Rescue was theatrically released on July 18th, 2014. So just a year later. So these were like smaller budget films that, again, originally... See, so this is interesting. So according to that, it was originally planned to be...
So those could have gone to Disney Plus.
Exactly. So it was originally planned to go direct to video. They were like, meh, let's put it in theaters anyway. And they made probably more money than they would have made if it would have gone straight to DVD, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Again, like, just seems like, now that was 2013 and 2014, so, you know, 5 and 6 years ago. Yeah, I don't know if they would do that again. Just like the fact that they're going to make a, was it Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show.
Right.
That's like, those are your movie stars, right? Maybe mm-hmm. not your main cast. Those are your supporting actors.
Same sort with of. The Loki show and yeah. the Vision and
yeah. Like those things could have been movies, but you're taking a chance. So I don't know that Pixar would do it, just because Pixar is like, they put so much care into those movies.
They do.
Yeah. And you know, like there's some of those
that's
movies.
That's why it surprised me that they made sequels that were not good to me, in yeah. my opinion.
Yeah.
Like the second Toy Story movie was a Disney sequel that I liked.
Yeah.
I only watched it like a couple of times, but like I've seen Toy Story and Toy Story 3 more than I've seen Toy Story 2. But then again, I'm that person that doesn't like the middle.
You saw 3 because you want to remember how it ended, and then you go to the beginning, but then
to see how it started. Enough. Yeah. but I think, yeah, I don't know. That's why it was disappointed me that Planes, I didn't want to see that. Cars 2 was not that great to me. Like, it was funny, but I just didn't want to see Mater flying around Europe and I've, stuff like that. Yeah,
I've never seen any of the Cars movies.
Now, Cars, oh, now so
I,
good.
Now I realize there's okay, five come, movies I haven't seen.
if you come to Disneyland with me, you will have to watch Cars first, because Cars Land is one of the best places to go. Got and it. Be... You're in the movie. You're literally in the movie.
Listen, once... There have been some movies that I don't watch until they come on Netflix. I expect,
guess what? It's going to be on Disney Plus.
Exactly. I expect to watch so many Disney films when mm-hmm. Disney Plus comes out.
Oh my gosh, we're going to be able to do so much research.
Oh yeah. I cannot wait. I can't imagine a single one of these episodes before Disney Plus comes out that I don't talk about Disney Plus. It is just like on the back of my mind constantly.
It's going to change a lot of things for a lot of people. There are movies that people claim. Can't get. Well, no, like there are a lot of people that don't necessarily have all the physical copies of movies like I do. So yeah. They want to share one of their favorite movies or a movie that they missed getting on DVD or Blu-ray. They want to share with their kids. Now they're going to be able to do that without having to worry about going and trying to find a copy of the movie.
Yep.
You can share anything that is Disney with your kids or your friends or your significant other or whatever, something that meant a lot to you, except for Song of the South. You can share any of those things.
Soon. Very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's still...
Not soon enough.
5 months, but still.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, this... Man, Toy Story.
All the feels... But not as many feels as 3.
No, I was not bawling for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I was in 3. But
I was excited for the future, I think, in 4. Like, I felt excited for Woody that he was doing something for himself.
Yeah. No, I mean, this definitely feels like a side story. It definitely feels like the... What are the Star Wars movies called? The ones in between. What are they calling them now?
The standalones?
Yeah, but there's a name for them. I think they're just a Star Wars story, right? I think that's what they
call
them.
Yeah.
So like a Toy Story story.
I still like Woody's existential crisis, a Toy Story story.
Yes.
That's what it should be called.
I think that's going to be the name of this episode, A Toy Story Story.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't know. I could go on for another hour talking about what I'd like to see or because I do like the world. I do like the world a lot and I do like the characters. I guess
I want to see more of Sheriff Jesse.
I know.
I love that he handed off the mantle to her, and actually the whole time I'm like, is he going to give her the sheriff badge, because there was allusion to that earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And then he gave her the sheriff badge.
You know, in a way, I think that having Woody leave leaves us with, or the other toys, some breathing room. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he took up a lot of air, especially he was
a very, very bossy person.
And not just bossy, but everything was, you know, to 11 with him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I get it. Thanks to him. Like, everything he did with Bonnie at the beginning in kindergarten was beautiful and was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I forgot which toy it was. It may have been Bo Peep that was like, she's a kid. Like, she'll find another toy. She'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it feels like the end of the world when you lose your toy as a kid, but you will be okay. You'll pick yourself up. You'll find something else to play with.
Yeah. And Woody wouldn't allow that. Like, he was so...
protective,
rigid,
and like a helicopter toy.
He was a helicopter toy. He was too rigid. There was like no room for like failure or sadness or anything else. Like, he had to have everything be perfect for Bonnie, and obviously that was unsustainable. And I think I don't know how well the movie showed that, but that was definitely one of the things that happened, which mm-hmm. was that, like, he realized like, I can't do this forever. like keeping track of Forky was exhausting and almost cost him his life multiple times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so the idea that he could go off and do something different, like, he was ready for that. And I think he definitely didn't realize. I don't know. It's almost like everybody was like, yeah, Woody, we get it. You need to go. Like, we've known for a while.
Mm-hmm.
that's kind of how it felt at the end, because it wasn't, because that scene at the end where they're all saying goodbye, I think had they wanted to, they could have been the trash scene again from 3. It could have mm-hmm. like, it could have destroyed us emotionally if they wanted. But instead,
everybody's like, yeah, Woody, you do your thing.
Yeah, it's like, you're a guy, go for it. It's okay. It's almost like he grew out of them the way that Andy grew out of them, which makes me sad, but it's also a normal part of life, and he had to move on and do something else for him to be okay.
And now he gets to have his girl and his sheep. And
Skunk Ride, Polly Pocket.
Skunk Ride, and be a temporary toy and make kids happy in the short term.
Or not. Just hang out. What if? There's a Toy Story Wall-E crossover. Okay?
In the future, right?
In the future, right? Where among all that trash, all of a sudden, the toys start to rise up.
Now you need to write some fan fiction.
I'm going to write some fan fiction. I'm going to work on that. Please don't make it a cinematic universe, because it's going to get confusing. But
I mean, they already have planes and cars is the same world.
Yes, that is true. Oh, man.
And then there's all those, well, that's not Pixar. I was going to say Frozen. They have all these theories about things, but Pixar is not the same.
No. What's her name from Tangled? What's the name of the
Rapunzel?
Rapunzel, right. So Rapunzel was at the wedding, and what else? I don't know. The Disney movies cross over a little bit. That's a future episode, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Those crossovers. Whew, yeah. Man, the more that I think about it, there's a lot more to talk about in Toy Story 4. I think I just had to, like, get out of my system how... I don't know. This is probably a much larger conversation about sticking with the franchise for 25 years that is like meaningful to you.
And then we can have that conversation. There's a lot of things like we waited how long for Incredibles 2?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It was over 10 years for that one. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. Oof. We can have a whole episode on sticking to franchises.
We're going to have those conversations a lot. a whole lot. Especially when each one of these new things comes out, like, you know, we look back at the previous versions, but
especially with these live action movies coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I really liked Toy Story 4. I think I've settled on that. I do want more Toy Story, and I'm okay if I'd never see Woody again.
Okay. That could be really mean.
It's not mean. It's like that story. It's like Toy Story is one thing, I think. And then this movie was a little different in that sense. And now, like, he's off doing something else. And I'm okay. I get it that Woody is, like, the star of the franchise. I get it.
They could do a whole new movie where one of the toys, say, Buzz, like, Bonnie gets older and lets her friend borrow a toy. Because kids let each other borrow their toys, right? And he's in a whole new room. And then maybe Bonnie forgets to pick up her toy, or the friend doesn't want to give it back, or whatever. You could have a whole new set, a whole new cast of characters.
Now I'm thinking, you got to bring video games in. And
yeah, and there are video game things in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we need a 3D printer, okay?
Oh.
And we're just going to start making toys. Like, let's make these movies a little more current. Bring in the real issues, the real threats to toys nowadays. The fact that you can make toys.
Cell phones, video games,
yeah,
and 3D printers.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we mentioned Child's Play before, but Child's Play, like, one of the things about the doll is that it's a smart doll.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it has an app and everything, and it connects to the internet. Again, mm-hmm. I haven't seen the movie, but it's like, you know, you're making it current. Now I don't know if I want Toy Story 5.
Oh, randomized, like, blind box toys?
Oh, snap. Yeah, yep. Just like, it's like, you've got all the toys that you play with, and then you have your 30 Funko dolls, your amiibos, and your, like, collectible statues.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a $200 Final Fantasy statue earlier today. But it's actually, like, a posable figure. It's one of the summons, and it comes on a horse, and the horse is posable. Oh. And it's like that thing would be like royalty at Bonnie's house, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming. Now I want Toy Story 5 again. I'm very confused about what I want. Oh, but I like that world. Oh, well, we will see. I think that's it. Anything else on Toy Story? I'm going to shut up now.
I think we're good.
Okay.
I think we're good.
All right, so thank you for joining us on this episode of The Happiest Pod on Earth, our Disney podcast, obviously. We did good. We pretty much stuck to Disney.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple mentions of other things, but very little.
Mostly Disney. There's no rule that we can't talk about anything that isn't Disney, but this is good. Thank you so much for listening. For more episodes of the show and for more information on how to contact us and all that, visit happy.geektherapy.com. And there are links to our different community spaces in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.